This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His help, and we ask for His forgiveness. And we take refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequence of our evil actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, no one can misguide. And whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, no one can guide. And I bear witness that Allah alone is worthy of worship, and that Muhammad, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, is the servant of Allah and his final messenger. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon you. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are continuing today with our hugely important discussion on the topic of sins, and we will be looking at the major sins, those sins that have been mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with either a threat of punishment in the hereafter or the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or a had punishment, it's one of the prescribed punishments, or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned of a person's iman being negated, or that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has separated himself and distanced himself and said, I have nothing to do with a person who does such and such action. So all of these are indications that that may be a major sin. And when we say major sin, of course, we mean that it is major in comparison to the sins that are less severe in their level and their sin. But no sin should be taken lightly, as we've mentioned this before. And we need to remind ourselves about that. But today we want to talk about the evil effects of sins. What are the consequences of sins? And you've heard me mention many times, introducing my talks, the Khutbat al-Hajjah, which is the sermon of need with which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself used to begin his lectures and his talks. And amongst that he used to say, we take refuge with Allah from the evil of ourselves and from the evil consequence of our evil actions. So in this is a clear proof, in this is a clear evidence that evil actions have evil consequences. Evil actions have evil consequences. And they have evil consequences in this life, as well as the life to come. And I'm not going to discuss today about the physiological aspects or in detail the aspects or the harmful aspects in detail of particular sins. But in general, I want to talk about sins and what sins do for us, especially as Muslims, and how they harm us as Muslims. So in that regard, first of all, let's look at what sin does on an individual level. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained and stressed to us the importance of the heart. The heart is in a sense the locus or the center point of understanding. And I don't mean understanding in a intellectual sense, in a scientific sense, no. It's understanding in a spiritual sense. It is the heart that enables us to see the truth and the light of the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the heart is clean and when the heart is pure, The clean heart, the pure heart, understands truth. It understands moral truth. It understands spiritual truth. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, there's a morsel of flesh that if it is whole, the body is whole. And if it is corrupt, the whole body is corrupt. And that is the heart. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us about this heart. And what is the effect of sin on the heart? The effect of sin on the heart, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, may Allah have mercy upon you, is that every time we sin, a type of black spot enters our heart. A black spot covers our heart. And a person keeps on sinning and keeps on doing evil deeds until what happens to their heart becomes darkened. Their heart becomes, in fact, so darkened that it can no longer reflect the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's guidance. And this is what Allah described as ra'ina, ra'ina ala qulubihim. They have rust upon their hearts. This rust or this dirt upon their heart does not allow them to see the truth. And this is what happens to the people when they sin. And indeed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned us about a time when this will happen. He said that trials will be presented to the heart, one after the other. And we mentioned this in the very, very first lecture we gave in this series. We talked about life being a test. Life is a series of trials, tests, tribulations. The path to paradise is a path that is full of trials and tests and tribulations. And the path to hellfire is full of temptations. Things that accord many times with your false desires. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, temptation is presented. Will, this is what is going to happen. It's going to be presented to the heart one after the other. And there will be two types of heart. There will be one that will absorb these temptations. So they will give in. And they will absorb these temptations. And eventually what will happen to these hearts is they will be hearts without iman. They will be hearts without faith. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it will not recognize good or evil. It will not anymore recognize good or evil except when it is in accordance with their desires. This is very important because sometimes it may be that your heart recognizes something as being evil. But the reason for that is just because that's your desire. That's your desires. That's what you happen to like, or that's what you happen to dislike. And this is very important because it goes back to a point that we've mentioned before. Evil is not based upon what I like or what I don't like, what I fancy and what I don't fancy. And this is very important also in regard to the hadith we mentioned previously about consult your heart, take fatwa from your heart. If your heart is corrupt, then your heart will not be giving you the right fatwa. Because all you are doing is following your desires. No, this advice is for people of iman. This is advice is for the people who care about what is haram. They care about what is halal. They are seeking and striving in their life to do the right thing. And so that concern to do the right thing, that concern to keep away from the haram and to do what is halal, then they look to their heart in their efforts to try and do what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, this is not talking about the person with a corrupt heart who just wants to follow their whims and their desires. Because when that person consults their heart, they will not find any reflection of truth. Only they will accept what is in accordance with their nafs, their hawa, their desires. And they like it because that's what their desire is. And they don't like it because that's what their desire is. So they will no longer recognize right from wrong, except when it is in accordance with their desires. But then there's the other type of heart. This other type of heart repels the temptation, repels the fitna. And then eventually this type of heart will reach a stage and it will reach a level where nothing can harm it. As the Prophet said, as long as the heavens and earth endure, nothing is going to harm this heart. It will remain firm and strong upon Iman. So obviously, my brothers and sisters, that is what we want to try and achieve, to have a heart like that. But the problem is, when we sin, then the black spot goes on our heart. If we repent, the black spot is removed. Also, if we do good deeds, that helps to remove the rust from the heart. But the problem is, my brothers and sisters, when we sin, and we become accustomed to sin, and even if they are the so-called small sins, even if they are the so-called small, enough of those small sins can blacken the heart. And then the worst punishment that a person could ever experience is that they don't even know that they are being punished. They don't even realize that they are suffering the consequence of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they don't care whether their money is halal or haram. They don't care whether what they're doing is right or wrong in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that truly is the worst type of condition a human being can reach. So that is really, in a sense, the worst type of punishment. Most certainly, brothers and sisters, we must understand that when evil happens to us in our life, this is very important. When evil happens to us in our life, the evil that happens to us is a consequence of the evil that we have ourselves done. And if we look in the Quran, and we look in Surah An-Nahl, which is the 16th surah, and we look in the 53rd ayah, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, the meaning of which is, and whatever of the blessings and good things you have, it is from Allah. So most certainly, if something good has happened to us, if some blessings have happened to us, whatever good happens to us, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's from His mercy, from His kindness, from His bounty to us. And also, in Surah Al-Ibrahim, which is the 14th surah, in the 7th ayah, Allah says, the meaning of which is, and remember when your Lord proclaimed, if you give thanks, I will give you more of my blessings. But if you are thankless, verily my punishment is indeed severe. There it is very clearly. If you give thanks for those blessings and those good things which Allah the Creator has bestowed upon you, then Allah will give you more. He will bless you with more. But if you are thankless, if you are ungrateful, then verily Allah, certainly Allah warns you that His punishment is severe. So here is the implicit warning that a person who disobeys Allah, who is ungrateful to their Lord and their Provider and their Sustainer and their Creator, they will be punished. It is very clear in the Quran. And what does it mean, gratitude? What does it mean to be thankful to Allah? Well, on one angle, of course, being thankful to Allah means saying thank you when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you something. When Allah bestows some blessing upon you, you thank Allah and you praise Him. Verbally, you thank Him and you praise Him. You don't thank some created thing. You don't thank the sun or the moon or the stars or something in the creation, because they have no power. They have no power, they have no ability. They are just things that Allah has created, completely subject to the power and the control of the Creator. So why would you thank them? They have done nothing. They are totally and completely under the power of the Creator. When I finished filming here today, and say for example, I'm very impressed with, you know, the images that have come of this talk that I've been giving. Do I thank the camera? Oh, camera, thank you very much. That was really good. If I want to thank someone, I would thank the man behind the camera. or I thank the director, or I thank the sound guys. I'm not going to thank the camera and the microphone. I mean, that's ridiculous. So gratitude to Allah, thankfulness to the Creator, number one, of course, means that you thank and you praise the Creator, not the creation. You are grateful to Allah, and all praise is certainly due to Allah, due to the Creator. So that's one thing. But gratitude is not only just saying thank you. See, gratitude means that you use those blessings in a way that is pleasing to Allah. You use those blessings in a way that is pleasing to Allah. If any one of you was to give your children or your friend some money or some gift, and then they use that money or that gift in a way that is totally inappropriate, that is totally wrong, that is totally detrimental to yourself and your family, you would not be pleased with that. You would consider that to be ungrateful. You would say, I gave you this car, I gave you this money, and you spend it on this and you spend it on that. You are so ungrateful. That's a terrible and a worse form of ingratitude. So when the Quran talks about gratefulness and gratefulness to Allah, that means that if you are grateful to your Creator, that means you use the blessings, you use the gifts, you use the bounties that He has given you in a way that is pleasing to Him. That means the blessing of these ears means that you listen to what Allah loves and what Allah is pleased with. You listen to good things, not bad things. You look at what is good. You eat what is good. You walk to what is good. You do what is good and you do what is right. Because if you do what is evil and you listen to what is evil and you speak what is evil, then that is ingratitude to your Creator. That is misusing and abusing the bounties that He has given you. And that's what is thanklessness. And certainly, if you are thankless to Allah, He has warned you of His severe punishment, that He will take you to account and He will reprimand you and He will punish you for that, without doubt. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Quran, the meaning of which is in Surah Ash-Shura, which is the 42nd surah, in the 30th ayah, and whatever misfortune befalls you, it is because of what your hands have earned. And He pardons much. There you go. Whatever evil happens to you, it's because of what you have done, what your hands have put forth. When bad happens to you in your life, it's because you have disobeyed Allah, you have been ungrateful to your Creator, you have misused the blessings that He has given you, and as a consequence of that, you have suffered. And by the way, we should really say we, because it is not only you and me as individuals. No, when we human beings collectively are thankless and we are disobeying our Creator, then all of us will suffer as a consequence of that. So when there is evil in this world, we can't blame Allah, we can't blame the Creator. The evil is a consequence of our evil. The evil is a consequence of our misusing and abusing the bounties and the benefits and the blessings that our Creator has given us. If we had used them in the right way, and we'd used them in the proper way, and we had been truly grateful, then we would not have experienced those evil things. This is the simple fact. Also in Surah An-Nisa, which is the 4th surah in the 79th ayah, whatever of good reaches you is from Allah, but whatever evil befalls you, it is from yourself. Evil is the evil consequence of our own evil actions. And many people are ignorant about this, my dear brothers and sisters. Many people, they attribute the evil that happens to them to political causes, to economic causes, to meteorological causes, to geographical causes, to geological causes. And this is because many people, most people, are not really in tune with reality. The true reality, that the evil that happens to us is a result of the evil actions that we ourselves have done. So in Surah Ar-Rum, which is the 30th surah, in the 41 ayah, again, Allah the Exalted, He mentions, evil has appeared on the land and sea because of what the hands of men have earned by oppression and evil deeds. That Allah may make them taste a part of what they have done in order that they may return and repent to Him. So there you have it. Evil has appeared on the face of land and sea. And you do, brothers and sisters. We see it, all of us. Evil on the land and evil even in the sea. We see the consequence of our sins as human beings, our transgression as human, our waste, our oppression, one over the other. Our tyranny, one over the other. Our using the bounties of our Creator in a way that is not pleasing to Him. Waste and excess. Frivolity and so-called enjoyment that in reality, most of the time, brings us no benefit, no true happiness, no true peace, no true tranquility. So what is the consequence of all of that? We see the evil of it. We see the consequences of it, of the land and on the sea. And even in spite of that, Allah forgives much. Indeed, in the Quran, Allah tells us, in reality, if He was to punish us, if He was to punish us in accordance to our sins, there would not be a single creature left living on the earth. If Allah was to punish us according to our sins. But Allah, our Creator, is so merciful. He forgives so much. He overlooks so much. And even when He punishes us, He does that to wake us up, to bring us back, to remind us who is in charge. And that when we disobey Him, when we do things that are displeasing to Him, we suffer the consequences of that. So dear listener, whether you are Muslim or you are not, think about this issue deeply. Think about this issue a lot. And especially, O Muslims, we look at ourselves and we see the condition we are in today. We see how we are humiliated. We see how in so many places, in so many countries, in so many nations, we are at the bottom of the pile. We used to be at the top, now we're at the bottom. Why? What is the reason? We want to blame colonialism. We want to blame the Mossad, FBI, CIA, Freemason, Illuminati conspiracy. But we, none of us want to blame ourselves. None of us want to look into our own hearts. None of us want to think about the oppression, the injustice, the wrongdoing, the sins, and the transgressions that we have committed. This is not the correct way. The reality is we have left the guidance that God has given us. And because we have left that guidance, we have suffered the consequence of it. When we disobey Him, He will cause us to fight each other. And so when you see the Muslim killing the Muslim, and the Muslim fighting the Muslim, this is a sign of the punishment of Allah, and there is nothing for us to do except to repent and to return to Allah. And that is why, brothers and sisters, this topic of the sins, the major sins, is so important, because we need to know these sins so that we can avoid them, and we can earn Allah's pleasure and be far, far, far from His wrath and His punishment. May Allah protect us from that. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.